Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I brought my small Bible today. Who brought their Bibles to church today? Wave them in the air. Wave them in the air. Wave them in the hair. Wave your hair in the air. Who got their notebooks? Where's the notebooks at? Here we go. Oh, this is great. Look at all the hands in the air. I saw the phone. That's good. Phone's good, too. But I like all the notebooks as well, the paper, the pen, just writing it down. So proud of you guys. We are a church that takes notes. We are a church that brings our Bibles. And I'll tell you why. There's something about opening up your Bible. There's something about taking notes. I think that shows that we're eager to learn. We're eager to study the Word of God. And that's what we do on Sundays. And so we do that on Sundays because it's actually a practice. It's a habit we develop. And it's something we could do throughout the week. And you will find when you do it throughout the week, oh my gosh, does it help you throughout the week? It doesn't have to be like, oh my gosh, I gotta wait for Sunday to do this. No, we could do this every day where we get to study God's Word. Sunday's a celebration. Sunday's when we come together and celebrate as a community, as a body. But we could do this every day of the week. And that's so amazing that we could access God's Word like that. So, speaking God's Word, let's turn into God's Word. Let's turn into John chapter 11. And this is the story of the death of Lazarus. How many people know that story? It's quite an amazing story, what God is doing. And I'm going to unpack the story. I'm going to skip a few verses here and there. But I pray that you guys get the full picture and see what Jesus is trying to do in this story. So, verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped the feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" So this is not just, "Hey, Lord, Lazarus is sick. Lord, the one you love." If you forgot that you love him, remember you love him. He's sick. We want to remind you of that because this is the guy you love. And so we need your help. We need you to come. If you love him, you're going to come and help him, right? "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Does that make sense to anyone? If you love the person, if you say you love the person, you're not going to wait 2 days. Right? I was a bit perplexed when I saw that. I was like, he's waiting 2 more. Can you imagine the disciples' face looking at Jesus, just kind of confused, but not sure if they should tell him, like, "God, if you love them, we should go now. But I love them, so I'm going to wait 2 more days because this was a teaching moment to actually show how great God's love is. This was going to teach them something for the future so they know how great his love is, that his love is not limited. And then we're going to skip to verse 17. "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days." That's like super late. That's like Indian time late. Like really late. Like they were supposed to come at 6 p.m., but they end up coming at 10 p.m. because they know dinner for us are normally served at 10 p.m. It was really late. "Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and Mary stayed at home." I don't know why Mary didn't go out with Martha. I don't know if she was a little bit upset. You know, if you're a little bit offended by someone, a little bit upset with someone, you might ignore them a bit. You might stay home. You know, I think maybe that's what was going on. But Martha went out, and Martha's like, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming to the world. However, she was missing something. She was missing something so crucial that he is the resurrection and the life right now. He wasn't going to be the resurrection and life when he died on the cross, but he is that at that time. And then we skip to verse 32. In between that, Jesus is like, hey, call Mary. So Martha goes in and says, hey, the teacher is here. He wants to see you. So Mary comes out in verse 32. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. It's a little bit of repetition happening. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. This wasn't like a crying. This was like a tear. This was like a saddened heart. Then the Jews said to him, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Of course. Of course he could have. But again, he's going to do something bigger. He's going to do something better. Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord said to Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. For he has been there for 4 days. It smells. It's dirty. You do not want to go near that area. It doesn't matter how smelly the situation is. It doesn't matter how bad it smells. God wants to be part of it. God wants to help you through it. And God wants to heal you through it. This was past death. This wasn't just death. This was past death. This was after he was buried. It was not like he died on the bed and then Jesus came. It was way past. He was super late. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Underline thank you. Write thank you. Do something about thank you. Circle that. Tattoo that on your arm later, today, whatever. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out like a mummy. Kind of, what's going on? I was just sleeping a bit. Everyone's shocked. Everyone's like, what is happening? They take the linen out, and he's alive. And he's alive. See, no one knew what was going on. No one was on the same page as Jesus. No one, not even the disciples. The disciples didn't know what was going on. But he was trying to teach them something. He was trying to show them something. He was trying to show them why. But we think why he was going to be late. We all think he was delayed. We all think he was going to be late. But Jesus was actually going to show how great his love is and who he actually is. Get a bigger picture of who he is. Get a bigger revelation of who he is. I want to speak to anyone who feels like it feels a bit hopeless. Your hope tank is depleted. Your hope tank is getting empty. I want to encourage you to trust in God. I want to encourage you not to let your hope defer, not to let your hope leave just because of the circumstance, just because of the situation, just because of the delay. But actually, this is a moment, this is an opportunity for us to increase our faith and increase our belief, to raise our faith. You know, where is Josh Sam here? Oh, on production. You're a faithful man, Josh Sam. You're always on time for team, right? Yeah. But sometimes when Josh comes to my house, he's a little bit late. It's the Indian thing. I'm probably the same way to when I come to your house, right? We tell a time, but it's just like it's later. And so, you know, if he's coming for dinner or something, it's like you want to cook him a nice meal. You know, him and Sarah Sam love Toronto. What a legend. Well, both of you guys are legends, not just Sarah, Josh, both of you two equally. And you know, you get home after work, it's like 5 p.m., you want to cook them a nice meal, but then you realize your house is in a mess. You realize, oh my gosh, TTC is going to take me 45 minutes, because TTC takes 45 minutes anywhere in Toronto. It's just long, right? And you get home, and it's like 5:45. They're coming at 7. You told them to come at 7. And then it's like, okay, I got to clean this. I got to throw all my shoes in the closet. I got to, you know, put the dust under the rug. You know, I got to start cooking. But then you realize you don't have time to cook, so you Uber Eats. You know, that's the thing now. And then you're like, it's 7 o'clock. You're kind of ready. Kind of half-heartedly ready, you know. But he's not here yet. Where is he at? No text, no message. 7:30, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go shower and change. 8 o'clock. He finally arrives at the doorstep, and he comes in. Jerry, I'm so sorry I was late. I was delayed. I'm so sorry. And how I always respond is, bro, perfect timing. Perfect timing, because I wasn't able to do all the things I needed to do. I needed to get ready. I needed to get prepared. I needed to cook. I needed to shower. I needed to change my clothes. That's the title of the message, perfect timing. Sometimes I believe we think God is delayed or God is late, but I believe God is actually trying to prepare us to do something. He's trying to work in us. He's trying to use the opportunity of the delay to teach us something. And actually, it is perfect timing when he arrived. When God comes and when God blesses us and when God gives us something or when he speaks to us, it's always, always the perfect timing. The delay is for a reason. What we think, what we perceive as the delay is for a reason. And that takes me to my first point. God is never late. He always has perfect timing. God is never late. He always has perfect timing. You guys would have heard the story a bit about how my wife and I bought a house this last year. And yes, it was a miracle. It was amazing. But I never spoke to you about how I thought God was delaying. I thought, you know, God spoke this over us. We're gonna buy this house. And it was like 6 months later, which might not seem long to you, but it felt like an eternity to me, seeing all the houses we saw. I'm like, God, why is this coming late? We got to get this so we can move things forward, you know? We got to move forward with our life. This is something you've given us, something you've already envisioned to us that we're believing for, but why is it taking so long to actually get there? Has anybody been there? You're expecting something from God, you want to receive something for God, and you're like, why is this taking so long? Why is he late? You might even say that. Why is he delayed? I think he uses the delay to build us. I think he uses that time to build something us. See, James 1, 2 to 4, and this was one of my verses. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith is producing perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. The testing of your faith. In that delay, in that season, our faith has a lot of potential to diminish. When we go through the hardest times in life, our faith has the potential to diminish, to shrink back. But there's something he's trying to teach us. There's something I needed to get ready in the house. There's something I needed to clean up. It was perseverance to develop in me. If God came any sooner, I don't know if I would have learned what he was trying to teach me. If God came any sooner for us, I don't know if we would learn what he's trying to teach us. See, there's that verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. So the whole time, I was praying, petitioning, supplicationing, asking God to provide. But hold up, there was something missing. After the third month, I've said this before, I got sick of praying and asking God to supply. But when I go to that verse, that key word, with thanksgiving. Do you see how Jesus, when before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, thank you to the Father? He started his prayer with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving does something. Thanksgiving in our prayers does something. It takes away the whingy spirit. The whinging, complaining spirit, that's when your faith will decrease. But when you are thanking God and praising God, despite what you can't see, that's faith. And I'm thankful for that time, because if I didn't go through that time, I don't think I would have been able to give thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is part of our daily prayer life. We start God by thanking him. See, our perception of time is different than God's time. We have it all worked out in our head. We have the timeline worked out. It's happening at this day, this month, and then I can move forward there, and then I could do this, and then I could do that. That's not the way God works. But let me encourage you with this passage in 2 Peter 3, 8 to 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. As some understand slowness. What seems like forever for us can be a short time, can be a moment for God. That seems like eternity for Janie, my daughter. She has a 2-hour awake window before every nap. That can seem like an eternity for her, but it's a moment for me. Sometimes I have thoughts like, oh my gosh, I got to put her to sleep already? I thought I just started hanging out with her. Or for her, it could feel like eternity being with me, because as soon as Katie comes home, she stops looking at me. And she just goes to her mother. And it still feels like I didn't get enough time. And I'm like, Katie, can I hold her? I'm like, you had her all day. I'm like, yes, this is true. It's different. The perception of timing is different. If anything, we might be slow to catch on what he's trying to teach us. If anything, we might be slow onto learning what he wants to teach us, to develop that perseverance, to develop that faith. And it's at that perfect timing we were able to get that house. I remember Katie was pregnant, and I remember us talking once we moved into the house, not just buying the house in September, but moving into the house in November. I was like, man, if we moved in any earlier, I don't know how we would have done it. It was such a busy season. She went through her first trimester as well, where she was sleeping a lot, and nothing against her. Like, it was great. It was awesome. I got to catch up on Netflix and all this stuff. And there was a busy season. We were traveling this summer. We had Canada Conference. We had all this stuff going on. But in November, when we moved in, December, it's like things died. And we were able to actually work on the house and do all these things we wanted to do. God came through at the perfect timing. He was never late. He came through the perfect timing because we were able to pick up some things that he was trying to teach us. Pastor Sam, at the perfect timing, we will get a building. At the perfect timing. Because if he wanted to, he could do it right away. But the thing is, church, he's actually trying to build the church's faith. So we know as a church, we did it together. We did it together. He's trying to build every one of us. Not just Pastor Sam and Jess, not just the front row, but everyone from front to back. We all need to increase our faith. We all need to build our faith. Everyone has a part to play. It's at his perfect timing. Mary and Martha perceived that Jesus would come right away. Of course he's going to come right away. Lazarus, the one you love is sick. They didn't say, come right away, though. They just said, Lazarus, the one you love is sick. I think it's important to also make our request known, specific prayers to God. He knows what we need. He knew what they need. That's why he came. But we could also tell him what we need. We could also tell him and be specific, and that's the thing about a relationship. That's the thing about a relationship with Jesus. Katie, sometimes I'm talking to Katie. I'm like, Katie, the thing, you know, can we do that? And she's like, Jerry, I can't read your mind. Be specific. It's because I have baby brain a lot of times. And I got to think of the words to describe some of this baby stuff we have that I still can't remember some of the names for it. But we need to be specific to God. So studying, you'll find that where Jesus was, he was actually 30 miles away from Bethany. That's about a one-day journey. And if you remember when we were reading the passage, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. But Jesus said he was only going to wait 2 days. So let's look at that. So day one, Lazarus is sick, and Lazarus dies. Let's say he died on that for one day one, and that's when the message would have been sent to Jesus. However, again, a one-day's journey. It is likely when Jesus received the message that Lazarus is already dead. In fact, in the scripture, when he tried to tell the disciples, hey, Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up, they were like confused. What do you mean he's asleep? Are we going to go wake him up? And he's like, actually, Lazarus is dead. He knew. But he's like, I'm still going to wait 2 more days. So day two, Mary and Martha, it's like, okay, Lazarus is in the, you know, we put him in the tomb on day one. Day two is like, where the heck is Jesus? Man, all these people are coming from Jerusalem, you know. It's easier. That's like a 1 mile or something away, and they're comforting us. But where is Jesus to comfort us? Sometimes there are easier access to different comforts. Sometimes it's easier to go to this place to get comfort, go to this friend to get comfort, go to this area to get comfort, travel the world to get comfort from that, but nothing like the comfort of Jesus. Day three, this is when the delay is causing doubt. This is when the delay is trying to dismiss your faith. This is when the delay is trying to cause distress in your life. And so they start doubting. Like, oh my gosh, if Jesus was here while he was still sick on his bed, he would have been healed. And then day four comes. And it's like, oh my gosh, does he even love us anymore? Does he even love us? Where is he come? Where is he at? Jesus, where you at? You late. And then Jesus finally comes. And the story continues. And he heals Lazarus. And you could tell something by that. The denial of him not coming right on time is not a denial of his love. It's an expression of his great love. It's an expression of how great and how powerful his love is for us. And he's raising the faith of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He's like, if I didn't come late, if I came when he was just sick, your faith wouldn't have been limited. Your interpretation, your revelation of me would have been limited. He wants us to learn in that time the perseverance. More importantly, he wants to raise our faith. And this brings me to my next point. God's timing is perfect when you know him. God's timing is perfect when you know him. I love that Josh is late when it comes to my house. I don't know him. He's not known for being late. To me, he's known for being on the perfect timing because it gives me a buffer time to get ready where I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I said 7, but he's probably going to come at 8. So I have plenty of time to do what I need to do. This verse 14 was repeated twice by Mary and Martha. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus is like, man, do you know me? And it says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Of course, he had compassion for them. Of course, the distress in the room, everyone who was doubting him maybe. Lazarus in the tomb, of course, he was going to weep. I believe he also wept because of the lack of faith. I believe he also wept because of the distress, the loss of hope everyone had. That's why he was weeping. Because the thing was, Mary and Martha only believed that Jesus could heal the sick. That Jesus could only heal the sick. They might have forgot that he could actually heal from where he was at. He healed a centurion's servant in Matthew chapter 8 from where he was at. So he didn't even need to be there. He could have done it where he was at. But they didn't even think that. They didn't even know that. I love praying for people. We all, Chrissy, Amanda, everyone, everyone here, Will, Lil, JoJo, Pastor Katie, we love praying for people. And we want to pray for you. But let me tell you something. You can pray for yourself. During the week, if we're not there, you could pray. Because listen, I don't have a special power compared to you. Pastor Sam and Jess don't have a special power that's superior. They have great leadership, but you have the same access to the Father. You have the same prayer life that they could have, that they have. You just need to dig in. You just need to start talking. You just need to start to thank God for what he's given you. And the second thing was, they did not believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. They said, only if you came while he was sick. See, they didn't know who God fully was. If you know God, you know his power. They had a limited version of who Jesus was to them. But God was trying to teach them to learn who he really is. That's like Pastor Katie, I can't know Katie and not know that she loves jazz. She needs to go to a jazz concert, a big one, once every 12 months. You cannot know Katie and know that when she's at a jazz concert, she is in her jam, she won't even talk to you. She will be by herself dancing, giving that little face. Like, I'm like, Katie, like, I'm going to step up. Like, That's her jam. You cannot know Pastor Sam and know there's a bit of Tiger Woods in him. This man loves golf. Wants to hang out with me. He's like, you want to play golf? I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go. I love you. It's an essential part of Jesus. Essential part of God is to know the sovereign power. Paul says it in Philippians 3, 10, 11, that I may know him and not just know him. In verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. God is not late if we know who he really is, because we know he's up to something. We know he wants us to tap into something. When there is loss, there is always gain with Christ. When there is loss, when there is anxiety, there's always gain and peace with Christ. Every time we are put into a loss, or every time we feel like he is late, he is trying to show us something. He's trying to get us to tap into something deeper, into his power. If we know his great love for us, if we know how great his power is, can't we trust his way? Can't we trust in his way of doing things? Can't we trust in his timing of doing things? And this takes me to point number three. Trusting God in the delay is trusting God's way. Trusting God in the delay is trusting God's way. His way is better. His way is higher. His way is bigger. His way may hurt a bit. His way might involve a little bit of suffering. But at the end, you will realize how perfect timing it was. It means Mary and Martha had to suffer a bit in those 4 days. They had to worry a bit because God was trying to teach them something, that they don't need to worry, that they could trust in his power. They could trust in who he is, that he's always faithful. He's always going to come through for us. In 1 Peter 1, 6, and this is taking the testing of our faith. This is exploring in another way. This is to show you how amazing the gift of faith is that we have. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Sometimes we will go through grief. It's good. We need to grieve. You know, that's what Mary and Martha were going through. These have come to show that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It is tested because sometimes we are actually ignorant of what type of faith we have. It was tested for Mary and Martha because they were actually able to find out they didn't have real faith. They didn't have sincere faith, the faith that Jesus wanted them to have. Their faith was very limited. God is not just someone you could believe for a job. He's not just someone where you could believe for that, providing for that relationship, but he's someone that could bring dead things to life. He's some things who could bring dead relationships to life. He could bring reconciliation to those relationships with your family members, to those relationships with your friends. He could bring dead plans you had, plans that didn't work out for you, that are now dead. He could bring those to life, and it's his plan that will be better than your plan. Here we go. Keys have started. I didn't even have to ask you. Chrissy, you're on it. This is perfect because I'm going to go into a story. That's actually, I haven't shared this story because it's a lot. And it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to imagine. If God's power didn't work in our lives. But 3 years ago, Pastor Katie and I weren't together. We broke up for a full year. We broke up not knowing we would be back together. We broke up because even people like us, if you don't think we're like you, we are just like you. We go through the same problems, the same issues. The only reason I might be on the stage is because I have great leaders, but also I've been able to cling to God. I've been able to trust God. When everything looks dead around me, I've been able to trust God. And Katie and I, in our relationship, I was very selfish. Katie was perfect. And it felt like our relationship was becoming hopeless. Like more, and the more hopeless it got, it felt like the more control we were trying to take of it. The more control we were trying to take of it and of each other. And it had to be put in the grave. It had to be cut. It had to die. And we were apart, not knowing if ever we would get back together. And it was a tough year. Because I would see her here all the time. And we just started prayer and fasting, Pastor Sam. That was my second season. I was a rookie when it came to that. But in that year, it was the most growth I've ever had. In that suffering, my faith was being tested. The genuineness of my faith was being tested. And with every opportunity that I had for my faith to diminish, for me to give up, my faith somehow increased, knowing that, God, I can't see it happening in front of me, but I know you got the plan for me, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of what is not seen. So I cannot see it, but God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And while Katie was dating someone else, a muscular man who she brought to church one day, which was another day of suffering I won't talk about. But then Pastor Sam the next day said, you are way better. Don't worry about him. He sucks. Build my faith up. Build my faith up. And it was the second year of prayer and fasting at this point where God was speaking to me. And God, it's like I cleaned the closet. It's like when he called Lazarus out, he was like, Jerry, I'm calling you out of the tomb. But what you're going to leave in the tomb is your selfishness. What you're going to leave in the tomb is your plan. What you're going to leave in the tomb is your anxiety. What you're going to leave in your tomb is your strength, your desire to control everything. And you're going to put that to the grave. And when you come out, you're going to be renewed. And when I was able to put those things, when I was able to die to myself, Bible says, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, follow me. I was able to follow God. And at his perfect timing, he brought us back together. At his perfect timing, I wasn't like, God, why are you late? When are you going to show up? No, I knew he was building something. I knew he was doing something. Even though I couldn't see it, I know it was happening. My leaders saw it. They waited a while to tell me, but they saw it. And they just kept encouraging me. They kept pushing me. And at his perfect timing, we got back together. She ended a relationship and involved a 4-page letter, double space, very neat. We got back together. God took a dead relationship and brought it back to life. And it's not the same relationship. It's not the relationship where we're putting our needs first, but we're putting each other first. It's a different relationship. It's a relationship that God resurrected. And I cannot imagine life without you. I couldn't imagine Jeannie wouldn't be here. Our little girl. I cannot imagine that. God works in mysterious ways. His ways are better. Can we trust in God's way? Can we trust in the process of God's way? And I'll tell you, Katie and I look back and we wouldn't have traded or swapped it for anything. It was the hardest year. And that's why we need to celebrate the delay. We need to celebrate what happens when we're expecting, when we're anticipating. We're not just waiting, we're expecting, we're anticipating. God is up in heaven. I want to give this to you. I want to give you this house. I want to give you this bus. I want to give you this job. But I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to give you the perseverance. I'm trying to build your faith. Perfect timing. Perfect timing, C3 Toronto. This is your building. Perfect timing. JoJo North Campus is here for you to steward. Perfect timing. And he's celebrating the victories that people are having. Perfect timing, Tanya. God is doing something in your life. He's doing something in Patrick's life. And I cannot wait to see the victory. I talked to Patrick. And this man inspires me. The faith he brings in his letters. It's crazy. It's crazy how much God is doing in his life. It's not delayed. It's not delayed. But in the perfect timing, you guys will be united. In the perfect timing, he's doing something special. He's doing something very special in the both of your lives. And the impact you are both going to make. When you, every impact you make, every relationship you sow into, every friendship you make, your story is going to touch their hearts. It's going to change their hearts. And you will say, man, I got to celebrate those delays. I got to celebrate those sufferings because my faith is being increased. Is it possible some things need to die so God could resurrect it? Because God can only resurrect something if it's dead. So we need to ask ourselves, what does need to be put to the death? What needs to be put to the grave? That I've been trying so hard to control it, so hard to do my own thing, but it's time to put that thing to the grave so God can resurrect something new, something fresh, something reviving, something that brings life, something that is fruitful. We got to enjoy. We got to enjoy the delay. We got to celebrate it because it gives us time to develop our faith. It gives us time to develop our character. It puts perseverance in us. And people are going to come to us and we're going to increase their faith just by our testimony, by our story. Today, God wants to set some people free today. He has that life-giving power. Well, your life, it might feel like it's dark. It might feel like it's in the tomb. It might feel like it's dead and you need to bring life. You need to see the life that Jesus has given you. He wants to set you free today. He wants to increase your faith. He wants hope to rise in your hearts. In the way you walk, in the way you talk, you are hopeful. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. If you don't, today's that day where you can respond to Christ. If you bow your head and close your eyes, today's the perfect time. Today's your perfect timing to respond to Jesus today. And we never let a Sunday go by without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. The first person, you haven't received Jesus into your life, you want to start that relationship with Him. You want to start doing things His way, not your way, His strength, not your strength. Today's your day where you could respond. The second person, you are distant from God. You feel far away from God. You've already accepted God, but somehow you are far away. Jesus is saying, come back. He's been by our side. And you can recommit your life to Jesus. For the third person, you want that assurance that you will spend eternity with Jesus. You don't know what would happen if you died today, but you want that assurance that you would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. If you're one of those three people, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stick up your hand.